This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hi, everyone. It's Jeannie from the Human Animal Connection. So glad you're with us today because I'm so excited to speak to Brendan Golia. And he is a CDBC certified dog behavior consultant through IIBC. And he's the owner of OC Canine Coaching. And I've just had a wonderful session with him, which you'll probably hear about. And his programs focus on solutions to behavior using reward-based technology and methods. And he works with puppies, all dogs of all ages, all issues, aggression, resource guarding, all kinds of good stuff. And today our show is all about giving your dog a choice. We're going to talk about the issue of choice and autonomy for dogs. Because we know, you know, once we take a dog into our home, we give them all kinds of wonderful good love and good food and all this good attention. But we also take something from them. And one of the things we take away from them is the ability to make choices about all kinds of things, when they get to go out, when they get to eat, when they play with people, when they do this, when they do that. And there's a price for this loss of autonomy. So Brendan, tell us a little bit about what that means to you, giving dogs autonomy, and then we'll talk about choice.
Yeah, autonomy, like, as much as we can. Choice is something I talk about a lot, and it's something I think is kind of a new concept for most people, because they're like, what, how can I have my dog run the house? Like, I mean, that's kind of why I hired the dog trainer. You want me to give him more choice? He's going to jump all over people. He's going to eat everything he wants. Is that what you're talking about? So no, not exactly. What I'm talking about is looking, and like you said before, think about all the things that we do as the humans, the owners or the guardians, and what that really entails for the dog. You get your dog, maybe it's a rescue, and then I don't know what they're used to, but they bring them into your world where you have specific expectations. You want them to do X, Y, and Z. And without, I mean, on top of that, like you said, we control probably, you know, everything they do. We tell them where, when they can pee, poo, what and when and where they can eat, if they can play. Do we let them, you know, on walks, show that they're interested in the things they're interested in? Do we drag them along? Do we make them focus on us? Do we make them do obedience cues because we think we're supposed to, or it pleases us? Do we consider that sometimes they're not into it? There's lots of things like petting our dogs, grabbing our dogs, picking all of our dogs up, the small ones especially. Do you think they really want that? I mean, we should ask them, is my thought. Like, you know, did your dog like that hug you gave them? Or, you know, does your dog want to be social with that dog? Or are they your friends, your neighbors? Those are all choices. You know, so do they want to sleep on the bed with you or not? Do they, you know, maybe they don't. So those are all things that I look at and say, you know, if we can afford our pets a little bit more of what they are telling us they're interested in or feel best about, then maybe they'll act better and perform better. And, you know, they'll give us less reason to, or, you know, they'll give us less problems or perceived problems. That's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah. Well, in the Human Animal Connection, we have 33 principles, and principle number 27 is that animals have opinions, but
they
often
do.
But often as humans, we miss the cues. In fact, we were just talking about some cues I've been missing with Harry, but in our little consult before. So this is really important, is for humans to really look at, is this what the dog wants? And it doesn't mean that the dog gets what they want all the time, like treats 24/7, but what does it mean to you to say, observe or notice what the dog wants? How do you notice that, Brendan?
The context will tell me a lot of stuff. So there's certain, you know, I mean, I always watch where the dog is looking. And then there's, you know, complex and sometimes very often very nuanced behaviors they'll offer us to tell us a clue about what they're thinking and feeling. You can see softening of eyes, like almond-shaped eyes, as a good baseline for a good relaxed dog. But if you get wide eyes or
big
blinky
eyes,
or we get vigilance where they're like, I'm scanning, or maybe you have a happy dog that's, or not, just a dog who's content, and then we have a closed mouth and turn. So maybe, oh, something happened. They're concerned about, they need to assess the situation.
Right.
Those are all cues that something, they're noticing something or feeling about something. And then behavior after that can tell us, oh, those are actually them saying, I don't think I like what's happening. I don't know what's going to happen, kind of a thing. Nobody wants to not know what's going to happen or, you know, be startled. And so maybe if that's the situation, maybe we don't put our dog there the next time so close to whatever the issue was. Maybe it's a doorway, maybe it's an entrance, or, you know, maybe it's an area where they're exposed to certain noises, you know, a place where people, construction workers are coming in, or people are service workers. Like, you don't necessarily want them right there in the hallway or the foyer to practice showing you, hey, look, I don't know who you are, I'm going to bark at you, kind of a thing. So maybe they're somewhere else, you know, maybe they don't want to be responsible for addressing everybody that comes in the house. Maybe you have a dog that has a breed that says, I'm supposed to do this, right? Am I not supposed to address this? And you're like, well, yeah, kind of. I just didn't realize that's what I purchased or bought or adopted.
So
you have to consider there's a lot of reasons why dogs do behavior. They're functional. They're not just because they chose to bark or lunge or growl or show teeth or whatever it may be, that, you know, if it's aggression-based or reactivity-based.
Exactly.
So yeah, I try to really watch their subtle expressions. Are they going to move away from me? Are they going to turn their head? Are they going to lick their lips? Those are all things that are very, licking of the lips is a very clear one. Giving a side eye or a whale eye or looking an averted gaze, tongue flick, kind of a thing. Maybe raising a paw, handicapping. Those can be sometimes invitations for play with a dog, because that dog is a lower status or it's kind of making itself more vulnerable. Or it could be, I'm just uncomfortable. I'm trying to appease you, calm the situation down and communicate. I don't know what to do and I'm not a threat. Those are all options. And so I'm looking for these expressions. And there's books and literature that are very easy. A great book called, I think, Dog Body Language by Lily Chin is an easy one. We positive reinforcement trainers recommend a lot because it's so simple. And any kid can look into it, especially for kids or cartoons. But they're not silly ones. They're ones that make very good sense. So I think those, and watching a lot of videos, that's one thing that we do as, you know, dog trainers. We have thousands and thousands of hours of just watching dogs. I mean, at this point, you know, not new ones, but, you know, that's something that I'm fascinated by. When I see dogs meeting, I stop, take video. I did it to my other dogs the other day in the park 2 days ago. And my dogs are off leash and just kind of wandering around a tree in a park down the street we love. And I took it out because the sunset was just glistening off my dog's body. Like, this is beautiful. But then a Pyrenees, go figure, actually walked in, and we know him and he's a sweet boy. And my dogs were going to meet him. And I was like, oh, let's videotape this. I'd love to see how they communicate.
Right.
And there was moments of loose body language interest. And then one of my dogs, who's about, you know, 10 times smaller, this one right over here, right there, she kind of got some distance. She looked at me, you know, and she came over and kind of left. And then the other one I had came over, and she was much more slow and careful. And and so it's really interesting to see how they talk. And so if they're doing that with other dogs, how are we missing that with us?
Right. Yeah. So, they're communicating all the time. It's just, we don't know what they're saying.
Right.
Yeah. But it's going back to what you were first saying, is that looking at where their eyes are, that's where their attention is. And so, you know, what does that say? You know, is that a soft look? Is that a casual look? Or is that a hard look? Is that a frozen look?
Did your freeze? Watch for that freeze. That 1.5 to 1 second freezes. You only have that much time with most dogs who are about to do something you don't like. And where they're looking is where they're going. So if they're looking at your hand, they're going to bite your hand if that's going to be a bite. So don't put your face so close to a dog where you can't see where they're looking. I mean, you can't see anything this close. So I have no resources to help myself. I can't use my eyes. I can't hear them about to bite me. If they're going to bite me, it's going to happen. And so maybe you don't want to stub your face with a dog that you're not familiar with, or even a dog that's sometimes grumpy.
Yes.
If you've already established he doesn't like it, why do it? You know, like dogs tolerate an immense amount of our behavior.
The stupid humans that don't communicate well.
I mean, what are they going to do about it? They, again, have no choice for the most part. And most dogs aren't the kind of animals that want to be aggressive. They know the consequences, especially, I mean, if it happens once, we're pretty huge. You know, we can have some pretty decent responses, and I don't think our dogs want to go through that.
Yes.
And they love us.
Yes.
They're not trying to be mean to us. So,
right. Right. So what are some of the ways that we can introduce choice for a dog that as play or as training to use the, because I think once, in the moment that a dog is making a choice, they're in a healthy brain state, right? So what are, do you have some methods to suggest to people? That's Sophia walking around, those of you watching on video.
I do. It starts from breakfast or dinner time right away. I've had some interesting success with this with three dogs, and they're getting older and they can be kind of picky. One of them has no teeth at this point. The other one has had some, they all have teeth work and they just get pickier. You know, taste buds change and, you know, digestive issues change and down the stream health issues. And so while this is happening, I actually have one of my dogs that's red, one of these, you can't see, she's red. She has been picky over the past couple of months. And so I gave her the choice to eat her food. And she walked away and she kind of looked at me like, I want something else. And she is the kind of dog that says, I'll wait until there's absolutely nothing, no other options around that I can not choose from. Okay. I want to make sure I get all the options, because sometimes you do other stuff with the dogs.
Yes.
And I told her, like, I know you don't want, it sounds like you don't really love what I made you. I know you don't love the pumpkin I put in there. Maybe there's a little garlic this time. And so I was like, all right, it's going to be there.
Yeah.
And then I also made the same food a little bit differently with a little bit less stuff in it for my Chihuahua. And I was like, all right, you can have her food if you want it.
Yeah.
I put both dolls down and she's like, I'll have this one. It's fine. I'll have mine.
Okay.
And she ate it all.
Yeah.
I didn't force it down her throat.
Right.
I did. I didn't add eggs to it or bacon or whatever treat on top of the food. I already made a fabulous meal. And I said, you could lose it or I can give you this.
Yes. Right.
Which was lesser. In my opinion, and less quantity too. She's like, no, I'll eat this right away.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of stuff. And I'll do that with my Chihuahua. She's having a bad day, or, you know, she tells me, I'm not really interested in food one day. That's fine. You don't have to eat it. I'll just give it to this one over here. I'll come back tonight. Are you interested? Because, you know, fasting sometimes really does the trick for dogs. They really get over stuff real quickly. By the next day or that evening, I usually have no problem with her. I've also adjusted, hey, look, do you like this licky bowl that I got you? Do you like this work that I gave you? Sometimes, but my dog likes to get food in her mouth fast sometimes. And so I may be on a flat surface or just drop it on a flat silicone mat that makes it easier for her. She has a technique for eating having no teeth. So I'm like, what can I do to make this easier? I don't mind giving you options and adjusting if it's that kind of a thing. I want to make sure you feel comfortable. If you're not comfortable here, would you like to be on top of this crate? The other dog in the crate. Would you like me to put you there first?
Yes.
We could go into, you know, on a walk, etc. My dogs walk with me a couple times a day, hopefully.
Yeah.
And today was one of those days. My dog's like, I want to go over here.
Yeah.
Like, why do you want to go that way? And you've been wanting to go that way for weeks now. Like, is it because I took you over there across the street to these new dogs you smelled? Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
So once in a while, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to deviate. We're going to go that way.
Right.
And you're going to stop and you're going to smell this spot for freaking 60 seconds, one of you guys. And it's driving me nuts because I'm so like, how do you like this? My other dog is trying to leave and go smell more. So I have to kind of compromise, you know, maybe I don't bring both dogs every walk. Maybe I do give one of my dogs more choice because, hey, look, it's your time. You don't have to share it with your sister who has completely different wants and desires. She loves to smell poop and dead animals. You don't really as much. You want to go communicate with your pee everywhere and tell everybody you're here.
Yes. So
those are different agendas.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe you guys want to, maybe it's best to take one of you out, even though I don't have the time to do 30 minutes with each of you. Maybe I give you 15 or 10 minutes of just what you want. Isn't that what you're getting anyway? If you're dividing it equally, like it's not really I'm not really diminishing your opportunity. I'm just saying, this is it. You get all of it right away.
Yeah.
How free is that?
That's great. I mean, I think a 10 or 15 minute choice walk where the dog can choose direction or whether to stop and sniff or stop or start, or, you know, it can be more valuable than trying to jockey three dogs at a 30 minute walk.
I'm 100% on that page. I don't think it's even, I don't even like coming home after walking three dogs, even though they're all good.
Yeah.
It's a lot of adjusting with leashes and trying to figure out and picking up poop and moving around neighbors. And it's just harder. So I'm like, why would I put myself through this where I'm coming home tired and a little stressed sometimes? And my dogs aren't getting what they want. It's like a pack walk almost. And I'm like, I watch these pack walkers with like 5 to 10, 15 dogs and looking at, and I film them too. I like to watch the behavior. I'm like, then I review how many of those dogs are just there because they're stuck on a leash.
Right.
How many dogs are able to smell? Do they even stop to smell?
Yeah.
Are there any happy dogs?
Yeah.
Are there any loose body? Like, so it's like, this is probably similar to a very small degree what I'm putting my dogs under. I'm like, you know, maybe once in a while. And in fact, exclusively, I take my Chihuahua out by herself.
Great.
She is so slow, and she doesn't get out quite as much. And
yeah,
we just spend one-on-one time so that when she does get out, it's just her sunshine time to walk around.
That's beautiful.
There's plenty more we can do as far as how we, you know, ask our dogs to perform, to come to us, to sit. Those are all for a reason. And if once in a while you're like, well, why am I asking my dog to sit or look at me? Is it something I need to do right now?
Yeah.
Are they looking at me like, is this something I need to do right now? And they've all told me this, like, yes. No, maybe you don't have to. You're fine right now just walking or standing.
Yes.
You know, sitting doesn't do anything for us actually right now.
Really? Yeah. It's not necessarily the thing they want to do most.
Especially as longer dogs, longer bodies with, you know, their sacral area gets really tight. I don't ask, you know, the long low or the long greyhound to sit all the time because it's so much work.
Yeah.
It's like 4 feet down, you know, and it's a lot of movement. And so you'll see those dogs actually when you train them to sit side, sit or down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's just, that's their choice. Right. And if I afford them that choice, they do it fast.
Yes.
If I make this sit, they're like, fine.
Yeah. Right. You know, exactly.
I don't get it as fluid.
Yeah.
So what's it to me if they don't? I mean, same function.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a short little break. We'll be right back. When we come back, I want you to tell me how you see, notice, hear, feel happiness in your dogs. So we'll be right back in just a moment.
Hey, friends. If you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Human-Animal Connection, speaking with Brendan Golia, CDBC Certified Dog Behavior Consultant. So tell us a little bit more about some of the choice games that you play just for fun, just to get the dog into the choosing brain, the happy choosing.
Well, like we just kind of discussed, actually, we have a similar game, but we give them a choice to look or choose food from our hands sometimes. They usually win every time because there's stuff in both of them, but they get the opportunity to express, I think that's one.
Yes.
Maybe they win. They win a lot. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'll put the same hand down there again. And they're like, oh, you don't win. What's your other choice? Oh, it's really easy. You chose. You did that.
Yeah.
So those are options. On top of that, I do a lot of enrichment. So I give my dogs the chance to just be loose and play and find things. And so I think that's a choice that they all have told me they want more of, is they want to have the freedom and the agency to go about and just try to get some stuff and learn about that. So I set up those kinds of scavenger hunts from time to time. I use my Amazon boxes for that or toys that I have.
Yeah.
I give them a choice of where they want to sit, you know, how they want to relax. If they don't want to be on my lap, they don't have to be on my lap. If one is laying on the ground on a mat or a crate and she chose that, I try not to be butt hurt because she could be on the couch next to me. But for whatever reason, that dog at that time saying, I find it better in my crate or my solitude. And I have my own mat. And also that dog gets to see me the second I walk by the kitchen and touch the treat area.
Yeah.
So she's the first one that'll see it. So I'm pretty sure that's her choice.
Yes.
So there's a lot of considerations for that. And, you know, if I'm petting my dog or rubbing their belly and I'm like, is this what you wanted? I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. So I take my hands off them. If they come closer to me, if they offer another behavior, maybe it's something that communicates, I want more of that. If they just sit there and put their chin down, they probably don't want more of that.
Great. So how do you see happiness? Like, let's say you're going to go for a ride. How do you tell, yes, the dog wants to go for this ride. Dog doesn't want to go for
this
ride.
That's another good point. I'm sorry. I didn't mention that. Walking. They didn't even want to go for a walk all the time.
Yeah.
So one dog may not show up for that walk. She may sit at the top of the stairs and be like, I don't really want to go. I'm like, okay. See you later, kiddo. You don't have to go. Here's a treat. That's one of those. It's when I see joy or happiness, what does it look like? Different ways. I see loose, swishy tails, body language, prancing behavior. I see dancing, circling. My dogs make certain noises that I can kind of identify that they've grown and changed over the years. I sometimes see a play bow. My dogs communicate differently. They they just kind of, you know, they'll look happy. Be honest. They'll have their mouth loose and their eyes are open and they're moving and their tails are circling or flicking and often to the right side or just loose back and forth. And you know, they're dancing. Dancing is definitely a thing all my dogs can do. And that seems like they're very happy. They're in the mood to do something. They're trying to get me engaged.
Yes.
That's one thing I see a lot. There's also a face they can make that I try to get when I play with them. And this is something I learned from it. I might've mentioned before, Dr. Amy Cook. She has a class called the Playway, or a course that I took a long time ago, and something she, you know, she was trying to tell us all, I think, what does it look like when dogs laugh?
Yeah.
Is that a possibility? I don't know if it's real, but she called this face the har face. Kind of like this, and kind of like the stupid face like this.
Yeah.
And so when I'm playing and I'm trying to be silly and I tease my dogs and I get the kind of the sard pucker and they seem to be really happy.
Yeah.
So I kind of identify when she said that years ago. I'm like, no, I see that already. And if you play in a way that's real play, that's not just go get it, come on, tug.
Yeah.
They kind of show you this same face and they make the sounds. And
yes,
you know,
well, they've done an interesting study with recording dogs' laughs, which are a little bit, you know, not our ears are not as trained, but when they play them for dogs in shelters, the dogs all calm down.
Really?
So when the dog laugh track will help calm dogs and shelters.
That's interesting. I would love to hear that, actually.
I know.
I've never heard a dog laugh track.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was a research study that was done. They should have it in all shelters because it's so useful. And also, we do a thing where we sing to our dogs. We sing their names. We sing them.
I saw that.
Lullaby, yeah. So, and there's another group that does lullabies with a heartbeat. That's really calming for dogs, you know, human heartbeat.
That I actually utilize more than you would think. I try to keep a tempo of music on around my home when I need them to be calm for about 60 to 70 beats a minute. And so that's something I know was studied years ago with through a dog's ear sound or podcast or soundtrack. And I've noticed a lot of that's gone onto other platforms. So when I leave my house, I can Spotify or YouTube the same thing. And that's kind of the background that I have. And it's good for me throughout the day too. I notice when I listen to something that's kind of on the right tempo, it keeps it's like a drummer behind the scenes. Like, this is the time. This is the time. And it's, I think it's beneficial for everybody.
That's great. And are you someone who believes that we can communicate with animals as in telepathic communication, or
where are you on that? I don't disbelieve it. I have no proof one way or the other. And I speak with a lot of communicators. Actually, I'm on a show called Smart Pet Talk TV on YouTube. And it's a network, Your Home TV, that's available on some platforms. And we have a very well-known animal communicator, Joan Ranquette, on there. And so
we
get a lot of her insight. I have one here that was trained by her locally. So I just discuss stuff with her and she refers stuff with me. I have not put the effort in to learn that, which they claim they can teach anybody, which is amazing. But I do feel like we can communicate intentions and feelings, whether it be subtle micro expressions that we don't even know we're doing. But I think there's a real possibility animals are better receivers of information than we understand.
Yes.
And it takes some practice, obviously. There's a lot of stuff that we feel like we may not be ready for or embarrassed to admit or try, but I am a proponent of saying, you know what, what's the risk?
Yeah.
Is maybe it doesn't work. But what's the benefit?
But what if it does?
Like, you know, like, what are you not willing to put in the time? You don't have to tell the whole world or family you're doing it.
Right.
You know, but you can try and then come back after you feel like yes or no, it worked or not, and then put and try to maybe get more data on it.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, why not? I'd try everything.
Yeah.
You know, try talking to your dogs. Try imagining what you want for your dogs in your head. You know, try imagine how you feel, show the images of them, you know, maybe it works, you know, get yourself in the right state for it too. Maybe to be a transmitter, we have to be very relaxed. And that's also a possibility. We're not that anymore much. We are very tense. We're very busy. We're multitasking.
Right.
So, and I can be, believe it or not, an intense person sometimes. So
I need to
come back and relax. I take time to breathe.
Yeah.
You know, and I have my own, you know, protocols for that. And it seems to really help my dogs.
Yeah. It does. It does. They love it. When I meditate, all the dogs come and sit with me.
I have one dog who sits next to me a lot when I play my guitar. Uh-huh. Yeah, and so I have, exactly. You know, some dogs really enjoy that regardless of what you're playing. Uh-huh. And so I actually have a hypothesis because she's deafening. I think she feels uh-huh. the vibrations differently.
Oh.
If you've ever, I saw something interesting on some social media, a lady laying below a piano on a tile floor. Uh-huh. It's actually very popular, apparently, to lay below a playing piano. Wow. And feel the vibrations. And I think that might be what she's yeah, saying. I'm probably feeling this more now. It started to happen as she progressed in her deafness.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, this is really interesting. You seem to like yeah. this feeling.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about feeding your dogs. I know you're a big proponent in healthy food for dogs, and a lot of commercial dog foods are not that healthy. So tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, I try to avoid, and you know, I know this is, it can be controversial, and for a couple of reasons. One, I'm not trying to say I have the best diet for my dogs ever. Mm-hmm. There's no one diet that's going to work for every dog. And I realize I'm fairly privileged to be able to feed what I feed, to be able to have the time to research what I do, to be able to have the resources of people and veterinarians and, you know, that just the ability to understand this kind of stuff. And so I realize that's something that I have to my advantage. And so having said that, I mean, the bottom line is, of all the fad trends and, you know, raw, fresh, this, that, single protein, grain free, et cetera, the bottom line, it seems, is that we need to have real food we're feeding. It has to be fresh, less mm-hmm. processed, less heated, less treated.
Yep.
And so if we can focus on that first, it's probably easier to have this discussion versus what brand or what company yeah, or what sure. formula. Mm-hmm. I mean, that can change. I change that formula in my dogs every week or month or couple of months. I get bored with the same stuff, and maybe that's yeah. my imposition on my dogs, is I just don't want to feed you the same stuff all the time. And but at the same time, I'm like, you know, we definitely need more a broader amino acid profile. We mm-hmm. probably need a pulse, or not be so consistent with all the stuff we're adding, because it could be too much at some point. And I've experienced that with my dogs.
Yeah.
So making sure we take breaks and rotate, and don't yeah. force our wishes on them just because we read that all these 12 things are good for them. They don't all need to be done in a day.
Right.
Nutrition is a long exposure.
It's a long game. It's a long game.
So yeah. it's monthly. You need to be yeah. considering this. You can get a lot of nutrition in a week or two, and that doesn't have to be repeated for another month in some cases mm-hmm. or every other week. Just consider the natural way dogs might have lived or wolves do now. They're lucky to get a meal a day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not to mean that we don't feed our dogs more than once a day necessarily. Mm-hmm. But they don't get the same thing ever almost. I mean, they tend to, there's a lot of research that says dogs learned and wolves learn to hunt one prey specifically to be really good at that mm-hmm. and then work with others to make sure that we can get more. So, but my stuff, like I said, is fresh. It's real. It's specific to my dog's needs.
Mm-hmm.
So your dog who's 2.5 may not need anything or half the stuff that I'm feeding my 14-year-old dogs.
Right.
My Instagram post today, which is just OC Canine Coaching, it's once in a while I'll post like what we're eating today. So today uh-huh. was that from last night. And so okay. it looked pretty. I'm like, this is a pretty uh-huh. picture of a bowl. We should share this with somebody.
Yeah.
I have it pulled up here. It consisted of, you know, a local brand of, you know, lightly cooked food with low carbs. It's veggies and pork. Mm-hmm. I feed the pork to my dogs because it's a cooling food. And I mm-hmm. found that my dogs actually do better on cooling foods than a specific protein, which might have gotten allergy out. So it took me a leap to get there.
Right.
I use a pre or probiotic generally almost every day. That's mm-hmm. basic. Mm-hmm. I get it from Adored Beast Apothecary. Mm-hmm. We have pumpkin that I put in there because I think it helps their gut. Mm-hmm. it's a nice prebiotic. I have a CBD formula, All Paws Essentials CBD that I give to them. They're all older. They're all, you know, mm-hmm. have some inflammatory issues, some digestive issues. It seems to help them. I add blueberries as much as possible.
Yes.
Blueberries are extremely high in antioxidants. They're frozen or they're fresh. Golden paste is something I'm introducing to some of my dogs off and on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a turmeric
mm-hmm.
coconut oil blend.
Mm-hmm.
And then a sardine or an anchovy oil combination.
Sardines. Sardines are our friends. Once a week, that can of sardines.
Once a week, that's really all you need is toss a sardine in their meal once a week. So we mix that with the actual oils. We have a list of other things I might add. I have different formulas of CBD for different things. I have mm-hmm. I have green lip mussels that I pulse
green lip mussels
because they're all getting older.
Yeah.
I'll toss in. I'll just make a little vegetable slurry. That mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. that is, you know, the leftovers of what I bought that Sunday for my my grocery trip. So I have a little pulser, you know, like a little processor. Yeah. I'll throw in a bit of kale or broccoli sprouts, a little broccoli, a little red pepper. They love red pepper.
Uh-huh.
I'll toss in maybe a little bit of strawberry once in a while or blueberry. Yeah. And then apple cider vinegar. I keep some, I'll shake it up and get the blended, and I'll pour a little bit of that. They seem to really like that kind of that sour taste.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's not too overpowering, but it's kind of, it's all complimentary. So I'll have that and I'll sprinkle it over based on, you know, size. And again, I won't mix it all together all the time. I'll actually give them a choice.
Great.
And I'll put it on the outskirts, you know, and a little bit's blend in, but like, if I want them to eat, I don't want to deal with a, you know, it is their choice and they say no. And I kind of did it to them if they didn't want it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to remake the food. So, you know, maybe you don't want the garlic in it right away. Maybe you want the pumpkin on the side. And honestly, when it's mixed in, my dogs don't want it as much. I was shocked last night when I gave them all pumpkin on the side. They all ate everything.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
And so I think about that in my own context of like, you know, would I want somebody to make a Thanksgiving dinner out of Thanksgiving every meal where it all goes together?
Right.
But do I want to get a bowl like that every day? Or do I want to, do I enjoy getting to the portion I don't like as much later after I've had my say and I like this, but I like it, but let me just snack on it. I don't want it in every bite.
Right.
Can you imagine having Brussels? I mean, I love Brussels sprouts. I love most things, but I'd rather have 3-4 Brussels sprouts intermittently than have to deal with that flavor every bite. And so I think that's something we don't consider.
Yeah. Well, Brendan, this has been great chatting with you. How can folks find you if they're looking to connect with you or do a consultation?
OCK9coaching.com. It's spelled out C-A-N-I-N-E. We're in Costa Mesa, California. My Instagram channel and Facebook are also the same, OCK9coaching. I respond best to an email or even a text message. You can call me. My number is online as well. But yeah, you can actually book appointments. You can get it. You can book a little 10-minute phone call consult that we could do for free on my scheduler. And then we can look into, you know, more focused training or a longer consultation like we just went through kind of in a way. There's many ways to do it. And I can help people from across the world. It doesn't need to be, you don't need to be there to touch your dogs. I'm a coach and I'm a consultant as well as a trainer.
Well, thank you so much for all your wisdom and thank you for all the good you're doing for dogs and their people.
I'm happy to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
So we'll see you again. Thank you for joining the Human Animal Connection. Aloha for now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.